Look at a particular topic, the topic of guidance, God's guidance. How does God guide us? Now, God's guidance, I think, is an issue for many of us, the question of God's guidance. Not because we don't know if God guides us, but because we know that he certainly does guide us. We're told repeatedly in the Bible that God guides his people and that his guiding and his leading is available to us. He tells us in Psalm 31 that for your name's sake, you lead me and you guide me. Psalm 48 says, he will guide us forever. Psalm 67 says, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth. And Psalm 73 says, you guide me with your counsel and afterward you will receive your glory, receive me to your glory. So we know that God does guide us. We know that we have a personal relationship with God. God's our Father. We know that. And yet many of us, I think, fear that we may miss God's guidance somehow through some fault of our own. Perhaps if we're not listening clearly enough, or we're not sure how to listen to him in the right way. So the question is, does God guide us today? I think the answer is yes, but how does God guide us? That's a question I want to think through with you this morning. If you're wondering whether to move house to a particular place, if you're wondering whether you should do a particular job, if you're wondering whether you should marry a particular person, if you're wondering whether you should invest in a particular company's shares, the question is, does God give us guidance on those kinds of questions? Does he give us particular directions, and does he have a particular individual plan for each of our lives? Does he guide us, and if so, how does he? I had a friend, or I have a friend, and I was applying for a job as a musician, and with Opera Australia, I play the bassoon. And about a week or so before the audition, I was telling my friend that I was feeling really nervous about the audition. And he went away, and a few days later he came to me and he said to me that he had had a vision where he saw me in the audition room with the panel, and he saw me surrounded by thousands of angels. And he said, Rob, this is a word from God for you that you are going to get this job and it's going to be given to you. Now the question that I had was, is this the way that God guides me? Like, is this God's guiding? Is this God's particular word for me? God certainly has spoken to people in this kind of way in the past. We see it all the way through the Old Testament in the Bible, don't we? But is this the way that God speaks to us now, in this day? Now, to answer these questions that we've got, I'm sure that most, if not all of us, would agree that the first place that we should look for an answer is in the Bible. We should look in the Bible, but how do we find an answer in the Bible? I think there are two temptations when we look at the Bible and think through the question of guidance that we may be tempted to go towards. Firstly, we may be tempted to conclude that God guides us in the Bible in a general way. He tells us general things, but he doesn't give us specific helpful guidance for particular situations in our lives. Who should I marry? What kind of car should I buy? What kind of job should I take? We may be tempted to think that God has no specific guidance for us for these kind of questions in the Bible. Secondly, I think we may be tempted to search for God's personal word for us, taking passages like Acts 8:29 to 40 and using them as our model for how God will guide us today. Acts 8:29 is the passage that says that Philip, led by the Holy Spirit, or was told by the Holy Spirit to go over to a chariot, and he started chatting to a eunuch. And the eunuch wanted to have Isaiah 53 explained to him, and the eunuch became a Christian and was baptized in the water that was just there, and then the Holy Spirit took Philip away to another place. Now, it would be tempting to take this example, or others like it in the book of Acts, as the model for how God will guide us today. But the question is this how God guides us today? Is this how God promises to guide us today? Is it a good way to read the Bible? I want to suggest that The way we want to be reading the Bible is by looking at the whole story of God's salvation history, how he speaks and guides his people all the way through the Bible, and not just pick out particular verses, but have a look at the whole story to try and come to an answer to these questions, or begin to look for an answer to these questions. And God's guidance is a big topic, so why don't I lead us in prayer and ask him for wisdom as we think it through. Father God, we do thank you that you do guide us. We pray this morning as we think through this topic that you would be guiding us and speaking to us and illuminating our minds as we look at your word. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay. Now what I want to do is to do a very quick survey looking at how God guides his people through the Bible, starting with Genesis. In Genesis, we see that God guides Adam and Eve, doesn't he? He speaks to them. He tells them how to live in relationship with him under his good rule. He guides Adam and Eve in Genesis 1 by telling them to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and to care for his good creation. In Genesis 2, he tells them that they have a role to fulfill. He wants them to work the ground and to look after it. And he gives them a direction, a command. He says, you can eat from any tree, but you can't eat from that tree. He told them that the consequences of stepping outside of this boundary that he gave them would be death, would be being cut off from relationship with him. Now we know that Adam and Eve did disobey that command. We know that the consequence was that God kept his promise, that he did give them death, and that he did banish them from the garden and from relationship with him. We know that although Adam and Eve were cut off from a relationship with him, that God did continue to guide his people, didn't he? God still clothed Adam and Eve, even though they were feeling naked and ashamed. And God guided them by telling them that in the future, he would restore relationship with humanity by crushing the serpent's head, Satan's head, and defeating death. It says that in Genesis 3:15, if you want to have a look at it. And we know from Hebrews chapter 2 later on that this promise has been fulfilled now, that Jesus, by his death on the cross, has now defeated death. God guided Adam and Eve by speaking to them. He told them how to live and how he was going to save them in the future from the death that he had given them. A few other characters in the Bible see as we look through the Old Testament, we see a similar pattern. As we look at how God guides his people, he primarily speaks to his people and he primarily speaks to them about the goal of them being back in relationship with him again and living under his rule, the way that Adam and Eve were meant to live. We see this with Abraham. God tells Abraham to go to a place to the land of Canaan, and there God says, I will bless you and I'll give you many children and I'll be a blessing to you and I'll bless all the nations of the earth through you. And he gives him a covenant and he expects Abraham to be faithful to that covenant. And it's a good future that God is guiding Abraham towards. With Moses, we see God guiding Moses, don't we? God guiding his people through Moses. God rescues his people out of slavery in Egypt, and he brings them into relationship with him. Exodus chapter 19 gives us a summary of God's guidance to his people. He says, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to me. Now, if you listen to me carefully and keep my covenant, you will be my possession out of all the peoples. Although the earth is mine, you will be my kingdom of priests and my holy nation. Okay, so God has guided his people and led them and brought them into relationship with himself, and he has made them his holy kingly people, his holy royal nation, and he gives them then the law that they're to live under. He guides them and he instructs them how they are to remain his holy people. God primarily speaks to Moses face to face, but he does use other methods, doesn't he? He put Moses in a basket and he led him to the Pharaoh's daughter. He rescued the people from Egypt by using 10 plagues and the Passover of the Lamb. He parted the Red Sea and he guided his people through the Red Sea. He guided his people in the desert by using pillar of smoke and fire, and he gave them manna to eat. And then he guided them to Sinai, where he spoke to them through Moses, and he made covenant with them, and he gave them the law to live by. So again, we can see the pattern that God is guiding his people into relationship with him, and it's faithful, obedient relationship with him that he is guiding his people into. We see the same pattern over and over through the Bible. We've seen it in Ezekiel, that God is guiding his people through Ezekiel to be in eternal relationship with him in the temple that he's going to build for his people. We saw that last week, didn't we? This is the goal of God's guidance. He's going to guide his people by breathing his spirit into dead bones and giving them life so that we can live with him and be gathered in as his sheep and live with him forever in the temple. We know what the goal of God's guidance is. The pattern in the Old Testament is that God guides his people away from death to life, away from disobedience to godliness, away from broken relationship with him to full, intimate and holy, unbroken relationship with him forever. God leads his people out of slavery, out of the wilderness, into his place where he dwells with them. That's the heart of what the Old Testament tells us about God's guidance. That's the goal of God's guidance, to be in God's place with him, in perfect relationship with him, and to live under his command, under his rule. That's the heart of what the Old Testament tells us. God uses mainly speaking to speak to his people, but he also uses other methods to speak to his people. Now, when we get to the New Testament, we see that the goal of God's guidance hasn't changed. Jesus comes and he says that I have come to give you life. I've come to die on the cross to take away your sin so that you can have eternal life with the Father and me and the Spirit forever. The goal hasn't changed, but the thing that we see in the New Testament is that the method of God's guidance has changed. Hebrews chapter 1 that Jordan read to us said that in the past, God spoke in lots of different ways to the fathers through the prophets, but now he has spoken to us by the Son. That is, in the past, God used visions and dreams. He used different methods to guide his people and speak to them. But now he has spoken to us through Jesus. This passage tells us that the speaking of Jesus is complete. What we need to know is complete, suggesting that there's no more that needs to be said for people to reach the goal of God's guidance, to have eternal relationship with him. All that we need to know for salvation and godliness is found in Jesus. The words that he has spoken to us and the actions that he has done is complete for sufficient guidance for us today. It's significant, isn't it? We don't need to expect any more to be said by God. We can expect that what needs to be said has already been said by Jesus. But how does Jesus speak to us? How does Jesus guide us? We could look at many passages, but in John 10, it says that Jesus is the good shepherd who gathers God's sheep together, and the sheep know his voice. They listen to it. The key to God's guidance, Jesus says in John 10, is to know the voice of the shepherd and to listen to it. And to not listen to other voices, not listen to the thieves and the robbers who are there to steal and kill sheep. You're to listen to the voice of the shepherd. And what's the voice of the shepherd saying? It says that the voice of the shepherd in John 10 is leading us from death to life. And the shepherd has come to lay down his life for the sheep by dying on the cross for us so that we can have eternal life with him and the Father forever. This is what the shepherd has come to do. He's come to gather in the sheep by laying down his life for the sheep. Jesus has come to gather and to guide his people into eternal relationship with God forever. And Jesus says repeatedly to the disciples, and then it's recorded for us in other parts of the New Testament, that Jesus has told us all that we need to know for guidance. John 15:15 says that all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you apostles. So he's with the 12 apostles and he says, all that the Father has given me, I have made known to you. Jesus has passed on everything, everything that's necessary for the Father to pass on to them. And he tells the apostles that he's going to send a counselor then, the Holy Spirit, to continue his work. And a central part of what the Holy Spirit's work is going to be, Jesus says in John 14:26, is to bring to remembrance everything that Jesus has said to the apostles. That is, the Holy Spirit is going to work in the apostles so that they can remember the words that Jesus has said, enabling them to write down the words of the Bible. So putting it together, God now speaks to us through the Son, Hebrews 1. He's spoken to us through the Son, and it's now completed. The way that he speaks to us is that the apostles, by the Holy Spirit, have remembered the words that Jesus said to them, and they've written them down in the Bible for us. So in other words, the way that God guides us now is by the words of the Bible. Now that may be sound like a fairly limited thing to say. God isn't limited by anything, is he? We know that. We know that God can do anything. We know that God could guide us any way he chose to. He could speak to us directly if he chose to. He could write on a wall, as he did for King Belshazzar in Daniel 5, if he chose to. He could speak to us in a dream or a vision, if he chose to. He could speak to, he could have spoken to me in the vision with the angels, if he had chosen to. Now, it is true that the apostles throughout the book of Acts do receive direct guidance from the Holy Spirit. And these are, you know, Christians from the early church. So, you know, that should, you know, they're Christians. They should be, you know, giving us an expectation of experience, shouldn't they? Well, if we were to expect direct divine words from God in the way that the apostles have them given to them in the book of Acts, then wouldn't we expect the apostles in their letters to the church to then say, listen for words of God, listen for direct words, listen for the speaking of the Holy Spirit directly to you, listen for dreams and visions, and this is how God's going to speak to you. We'd expect it to be full. We'd expect it to be all through the letters that are given to us, from Paul and from Peter and John. But I can't find a single place that says that we should expect God to speak to us directly on top of what he has already given us in the words of the Bible. There are two references to being led by the Spirit in Romans 8 and Galatians 5. It says that those who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. But both of those passages speaking about those who are led by the Spirit are led to put aside the works of the flesh and the passions of the flesh and to live in godliness. They're not saying that be led by the Spirit to go to such and such a place or be led by the Spirit to marry such and such a person. They're not saying that if you're led by the Spirit, then you're going to have a direct word from him. Both references are about putting aside earthly passions and growing in godliness, growing in the image of Jesus, growing to be more like Jesus. This is what God is guiding us to. We've seen it through the Old Testament, and it's the same in the New Testament. God's guidance is towards godliness and eternal relationship with him forever. So I can't see, you may be able to find something that I can't, and I haven't been able to read anybody that says that we should be expecting God to speak to us in different ways. But that doesn't mean that God can't, does it? God could, if he chose to, speak to us in many different ways. And he could guide us in many different ways if he chose to. But the Bible doesn't tell us to expect it. And more than that, the Bible tells us to examine everything that comes to us through the Bible. So if there's prophecy that comes along, then we need to weigh it against Scripture. As we are given the mind of Christ, as we read the Bible and God illuminates our mind, we're told that we will have the wisdom to know the will of God. that we'll be able to discern which things are from God and which things aren't. We'll be able to discern which spirits are of God and which ones aren't. The Bible tells us that all that we need to be able to have the wisdom to make decisions is given to us. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 says that his divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says that all scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So the tools that we need for being guided by God have been given to us in the scripture. All the tools for godliness and knowing where God is guiding us to into a relationship with him have been given to us in scripture. So, how does God guide us now? God guides us through his word. And as we read his word, we are illuminated by the Spirit to be able to make wise decisions about things. John Owen, who's a 17th century theologian, he summarizes this point like this. He says that the things so revealed to us in the scripture are sufficient to guide us, are sufficient to guide and direct all persons in the knowledge of their duty of God, in all that was required of them in a way of faith and obedience. Scripture has now become the only external means of divine supernatural illumination, because it is the only repository of all divine supernatural revelation. Basically saying the same thing that Hebrews 1 was saying, isn't it? God has now spoken to us by the Son, and all scripture is breathed out by God. But he says, John Owen says that it's not just that we read it by ourselves, and you know that's that there is guidance in the Bible, and so John Owen says that there are three primary ways that God's word becomes effectual to us. Firstly, that we read it, we understand it. Secondly, that we mutually instruct one another as we read it, and so we get together in growth groups and we get together at church. And thirdly, that we get together at church, and that the word is preached and read, and that sacraments are all done in church. And through those means, that's how the word of God becomes effectual to us. That's what John Owen says, and I think he's right in what the scripture says, that the way that God guides us is through the Bible, and as we read it and as the Holy Spirit illuminates our minds, then we can discern the will of God and make decisions. I think an excellent example of guidance in our church we saw this week at the conversation night on Tuesday night. We got together, we talked about an issue. We said, what are the problems associated with this particular issue? We opened up the Bible together. We saw what the Bible said about, all the way through the Bible, said about the issue. And then together we discussed it. We talked about, how then should we make decisions about this issue? And together, I think that that's the way that God guides us, that we make decisions together as we discuss his word and we think about how his word applies to the world around us. I think that is the model of expectation for the way that God guides us. God's word is sufficient for us to guide us, but it only works if we use it, doesn't it? It's like a bike. A bike's no use unless you get it off the shelf and pedal it and go for a ride. The Bible's the same. If you leave it on the shelf, then you won't have any of God's guidance. You shouldn't expect any of God's guidance if you don't read it. You need to open it up. You need to read it. You need to go to growth group and discuss it together. You need to come to church and you need to be in fellowship with other Christians. This is the only way that the Bible is of use to us in guiding us. We should read the Bible. Essentially, God's word transforms our minds so that we can discern his will and make wise decisions. So, how does the Bible help us to make decisions? I wonder if the reason that we think that the Bible isn't helpful a lot of the time in giving us God's guidance for our everyday lives is perhaps because we're not asking the right question of it. If I was to ask you, what colour is the equator? What would you say? What colour is the equator? Yeah, so you could give me two answers, couldn't you? You could either give me no answer, because there is no answer, or you could give me the wrong answer, because the equator has no colour. You can't see it. Yeah, it has no colour because it doesn't actually exist as a line. I wonder if when we ask the wrong question of something and we don't get the answer that we're looking for, whether we're tempted to go and look in other places for the answer to the question that we're looking for. I wonder if when we're thinking about guidance, whether we aren't actually asking the questions that God is seeking to guide us in. You see, God is far less concerned about where we live. He's far more concerned about how we live. God is far less concerned about where we work. And he's far more concerned about how we work. God is interested in our godliness and he's interested in our relationship with him. God's much more concerned about our godliness than he is about which car we buy, which job we take, where we choose to live. The main questions that I think we should be asking are the questions that God is concerned about. How do we come to know God better? How do I spend my time and my money for God's purposes and not for my own purposes? How do I love my neighbour as myself? These are the kinds of questions which God is interested in guiding us in. And they're completely relevant to our everyday life. How? Well, think about driving a car. Does God give us guidance in how to drive a car? No? Okay, so God gives us minds so that we can think about the world that we're living in and make decisions. But he does, so definitely he gives us the mind to be able to think. But he also gives us instructions in how to drive, doesn't he? He tells us to love our neighbour as ourself. Mark 12:31. So if somebody cuts in front of me, say I was driving and somebody cut in front of me and caused me to slam on my brakes and somebody hit me from behind. God gives me guidance in how to act in that kind of situation, doesn't he? I wouldn't feel great about that person. But you know, say the guy drove off or the lady drove off. And later on I was driving along and I saw them broken down by the side of the road. What guidance does God give me as to how to make a decision in that circumstance? Well, he tells us to love our enemies and do good to those who hate us or who do wrong to us in Matthew 4:53. The Bible also tells us to obey our earthly authorities, doesn't it? Romans 13. This includes obeying the government's road rules. It includes, you know, driving under the speed limit, even if you think it's ridiculous. Even if there's not a policeman watching you. It tells us to have concern for the safety and the comfort of the people that we may be driving around the place. And also, driving around gives us the potential to develop godliness, doesn't it? To develop patience and self-control. Driving a car, the Bible actually gives us a lot of information that we can have our minds illuminated so that we can be guided by God as to how to drive a car. The Bible actually gives us a lot more wisdom than what we think it does if we don't open it. And there's a lot more that I could say on guidance and a lot more that we could say on guidance, but we don't have all day. I'm going to stop there and see which questions you have, and let's continue the discussion on this topic by talking about